Hey everyone, this is Jamel Curry. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're excited to bring you the first episode in a new mini-series called Cocodona Training Talk as we build up for Aravipa's inaugural Cocodona 250 on May 3rd. Cocodona is a 250-plus mile trail race that starts in the outskirts of the Sonoran Desert in Black Canyon City and climbs up into the Ponderosa Pines in the high-altitude mountain town of Flagstaff. The course connects amazing landscapes and iconic towns along the way. These Cocodona Training Talk episodes will be hosted by our friend Shelby Farrell at Gooder. Shelby will be running Cocodona this year. She has run a 100-miler before, but this will be a whole new experience for her. So she sat down with several different runners to get some training advice and learn more about their own preparation and race strategy before the big day. In today's episode, Shelby chats with ultra-distance veteran Pam Reed. Enjoy the episode.
Yo, I'm Shelby. You may have seen some of my training adventures shared by Aravipa in the past few weeks. As a part of the fun, I'll be meeting with several Cocodona 250 athletes and trying to score some ultra wisdom from them. First up, badass ultra runner champion Pam Reed. First off, Pam, I'm really excited to share the course with you in May. How's the training going?
Oh, it's good. I'm trying to rest. I haven't been training. I just finished my 101 100-mile run at the Drift, which was negative 25 degrees. And this coming Saturday, I'm doing Zion 100, which I'm really excited. I love it. I'm the only person that's done every one. Last year it didn't happen. So then 2 years ago, there were two of us left, and I think now it's just me.
Amazing. You must be excited to get out there and compete.
Yeah, it's a beautiful course, and it can be warm, it can be cold, it's a mixture of everything in the desert, which is what we're going to get, in May. You've got to just be ready for anything.
You had a pro tip on Trail Runner Nation about using a spray bottle during Badwater 135. Do you think we'll hit that kind of high in Cocodona?
No, I don't think it's going to be that hot. That's for sure. But, and the thing you have to remember, you're going up and down mountains. So, I would still recommend the little sock idea I had, or, the nylon sock. And when you come to an aid station, put some ice in it, or also arm sleeves. So you can put ice in those, or at least just wet them down. And that will definitely keep you cool for something like this. But don't underestimate how cold it can be, which it could get really cold. And that's what I've heard in Moab 240, it got a lot of people, because, we think we're in Arizona, it's going to be hot, but remember, it's going to be really cold too. Even here right now, I'm in Scottsdale, and it was like 90, 95 yesterday. This morning I go for a run, and there's cold, like really cold, dippy places. So that's going to happen often. So gloves, jacket, something for your head. Definitely important.
Sure. Yeah. I need to look at the different aid stations too for Cocodona and figure out where drop bags are, because you don't want to necessarily carry that stuff the whole time, right?
Oh, no. And, I would recommend to have a spare light in your bag at all times, because nothing could be worse when you are out, especially if you're by yourself and it's pitch black. So I would have a spare light, and lights can be such a pain. I saw a little, the YouTube video on the Kagella. Yes. And I love those too. So I have those, I have Petzl lights, I have Black Diamond. I'm going to have them all. You can't have enough. So I would definitely do that. And are you going to have a crew at all?
I'm trying to figure that out. And I know I've heard, I don't know, it's an interesting thing because it is point to point. So trying to strategize that is challenging.
it is challenging. I have a friend coming, and I'm hoping he can run. So one part of it, we go all the way around Sedona. So that might be kind of fun if he could run that part with me. So it's really nice to have a crew, obviously, because then they can have a lot of your stuff, you know, in your, in the car. But I would still utilize the drop bags, because you never know. They might not get there when you're there. So I would definitely utilize drop bags and, you know, all different, just, you know, I've heard where people say, oh, you know, you could do too much. And I kind of disagree with that. I think the more stuff you can have, the better, because the worst that's going to happen is you're not going to use it. Right?
Right.
And the best that will happen is you'll have it, whatever it is, like, you know, a change of shoes or socks. And I just have, you know, I would definitely have socks and pants and jackets and shorts and just, you know, all of that stuff, just so you, just to make you feel better that you know that it's there.
Yes. Yeah, I feel that. It's very comforting to know that if your sock does get wet, that you have a nice, dry, cozy, warm one waiting for you.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and I've made, you know, for the Zion, as I said, I'm going to do it 9 times. So in 2019, I was there and I had all my drop bags, and the one that I needed a jacket in, of course, I didn't have it. So I froze for, and again, you know, in something like Zion, you're only going 7-8 miles without it. But in Cocodona, I don't know how, I think, are they 20, 25 miles apart? So you got to be, you're going to be prepared to take things with you as well. You know, I would recommend that. Cause I've done, you know, I've done UTMB, and Moab 240 and things like the Drift or Arrowhead. You've got 25 to 30 miles in between. So you got to be prepared.
Absolutely.
To have that stuff with you.
Yeah. I think the longest we go is 22.5.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Wonder how much water do you plan on carrying?
Oh, that's a good one. I was just going to tell you. So in Moab, they told us, you know, really stock up, because we're going like 25 miles. And I took I should have definitely had 3 water bottles. And I had 3, but I only filled 2. So I borrowed water from people, and it was dumb. And so, you know, now they have those soft water bottles too. So those are easier to just throw in your back. And I would highly, highly recommend for that many, because it's been, you know, right now it's really hot in Arizona. So, and dry, really dry. So if you're not used to dry, definitely have plenty, plenty of water. Because you can always dump it out, but you can't find it if you don't have it.
No. Yeah, I bought a bunch of those Solomon flasks a while ago, and they're great because you can also put Noon or whatever electrolyte,
yes,
you like in there too, and have a mix, and they
exactly
push down so small when you're done too. So
yes, yeah, like, you know, it's always, people are always saying you can't have enough water, so you definitely want to have that. And I don't know if they might have talked about water sources, and you know, there's a water bottle that you can, it is the coolest, and I cannot remember. I have one, and it's in Wyoming, which luckily I'm going home to, I'll have it. But it's got its own filter system. You know, you can get those straws too. And that would be a good idea to have, just again, just in case, because it's really uncomfortable if you run out of water.
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
I caught myself in some pretty interesting situations out there.
Yeah.
So what do you predict the most challenging element of Cocodona will be for novice runners?
You know, we talked, it might be that you're afraid about the sleep. Like you don't know how that looks. And you know what I would just recommend is you just go out and, you know, do listen to your body. You know, if you feel like you're tired, you know, one time I did this 48-hour run, and it was in France. It started at 5 p.m. And at 10 p.m., I went there, you know, I wanted to win or come in high for the women. And at 10 p.m., I got tired. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm so tired. I laid down for 15 minutes. And I got back up, and I ended up, that was the only time I slept, and for out of 48 hours, and I ended up getting second woman. So I would recommend listening to that and taking maybe a little bit. You have to listen to your body, because, you know, if you're just exhausted, just maybe 15 minutes to a half an hour, maybe an hour, even, you know, sometimes if you need longer, it's okay. We have a lot of time, right? I don't really know how many, is it like 5 days, 4 days?
Yeah, I should probably.
I know there's a lot of time. Hopefully
50 hours.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know how many days.
Fifth through seventh, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Aravipa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I get this question a lot, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to sleep? And so do you set a timer when you go down for 15 minutes or?
Yeah, I would do that. Yes, I would do that. And you know what else I've heard from other people that talked about, you know, like the Tour de France. I was listening to, who was it now? I can't remember, but What they were saying is sometimes people say to go the whole first night, like do the whole day, the whole night, and maybe if you can, and then sleep maybe in that morning. But another thing I've heard, and honestly, I experienced it in Moab 240, is that sometimes their sleep stations are kind of loud. So you might want to think about it. Like if you're lucky enough to have a crew, you might be able to hop in your car and sleep as opposed to going into the sleep station. It just depends, because sometimes it takes time to, you know, like it and I have slept on the trail sometimes too, if you have to. So I think you just, you know, keep that open in your mind, maybe just it'll come to you. And when you're tired enough, you can kind of, some people can sleep anywhere. It just depends, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I envision myself laying down on the side of the trail before a sleep station. What does a sleep station even look like usually?
It's just like a tent. They would have a tent like at Moab. It was a tent. And what happened is it was like a regular aid station. When you came in, you know, the food was in one place, and then there was a tent and you just crawl in there and you lay down, and my crew actually was there. So, you know, you could, I guess what you probably should do is with your crew have a sleeping bag or something. You could just lay it down and have a little luxury there, you know? So the other thing is to, and I know I was listening to Jamil the other day, and it's like, you just have to try to remember to enjoy this at some point, you know, like, and there's going to be some really fun parts, and there's going to be, like anything, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really hard. And you just got to keep reminding yourself that, you know, if you get sick or you don't feel well, that it'll turn around. That's what's so amazing. One point in Moab, here's something to remember that, in Moab, the aid stations, you know, they're far apart, and the people get really spread apart. So the aid station people were so bored. They didn't have anybody to come in. So I'd come to, and they're like, what can I do for you? What can I do? And I handed them my water bottles. And I said, you know, this one, I drink Tailwind. And I said, this one, I want Tailwind. And this one, I want water. And I left. And again, it was 25 miles to the next stand. I just put my bottles in, and I took off, and it was at night. So I only had two bottles. And about 5 miles later, I went to take a drink, and they were both Tailwinds. So I was just nervous, like, and it was really warm. And it was at night, but it was warm. So you know what I did? I just pretended I was drinking one water and one Tailwind. And I'm like, okay, this one's the water, because I thought, well, I don't want to get sick to my stomach. But it was fine. And Tailwind is light enough that it was fine. But note to self is just make sure, because people are overzealous and they're so nice. They want to help you. But just make sure that you know, double check that kind of stuff, because you, when before you leave, you want to know you have everything.
Yeah, I'll definitely be telling myself to be patient through those aid stations, because you don't want to leave with, you know, and then 3 miles later be wishing you had grabbed that Oreo or right. whatever it is that.
Right. And that happened to me a couple times there. Cause you know, the other thing that happens, like, especially in races like Western States, but this one too is, you know, you've been alone for 20 miles or something, or 20, and you get there and you're excited. So you just start talking and you forget. So yeah, just like really assess before you leave for sure.
Yeah. I guess another big question is, how do you pace yourself through these races? What's your overall race strategy, if you're allowed to share it?
You know, it's interesting. I would just say run it like you're running 100 miles, you know, and that's kind of, and in, again, there's going to be spots that you're going to be able to really run. And then, and if you feel like it, just go for it. You know, you're going to be surprised what your body can do. Like, and you know, when the sun comes up, you feel like invigorated, you feel like you haven't done anything. I think if you just kind of go with the flow, and I've done, you know, I've done 6 day races where I actually slept for like 2 hours a night on those. And I just, I would just get up and it just felt like this is what I'm doing today. You know what I mean? And it's just a really cool feeling. So I'm really excited to go back. I haven't done, like, I did the first Moab 240. I don't even know how long it's been around now. So 3-4 years ago, maybe. So that was the last time I've done something, you know, this long, that I'm excited. I think it's fun.
Yeah. I got chills listening to you say that. Yeah. I'm so excited. It's going to be like a, I mean, I want to say vacation, but yeah. I know it is, though. We're out seeing yeah. these new towns that I've never explored before, in the woods, nothing yeah. to worry about but running and taking care of your body while you're doing it.
So. Right. I know. So yeah, exciting. It's really exciting. And Jamil's his little video the other day, he was talking about how he wants to make it more like in the European type thing, which, the coolest thing, have you ever been to UTMB?
No.
Oh my gosh. The coolest thing about that is you come into these towns and, well, in, you know, in Italy, and they have water. It's just these big water things, and the water's flowing in and it's going out, and you can drink it and it's fresh, but the people are so nice. And I think that's, you know, so Jamil wants to get, have that kind of feeling. And it's so neat to be able to, you know, just if some of these bars, just go in and get something to drink, or, you know, ice. And I'm an ice queen. I love ice. So yeah, people are so nice, you know, it's so, I'm excited about that part too, to meet the people, and hopefully they're excited to see us as much as we are to see them.
Yes. Is there a certain town that you're most excited to run through?
Well, I hear, you know what? I've never been to Jerome. And that's supposed to be like right up against a mountain or in a mountain. I don't know. So yes, I'm excited there. And, you know, Sedona is gorgeous. So that'll be fun to, I've been there a couple times, but, and then I'm excited to go up. I'm telling myself this because we're going to be mad about this. I'm sure we have to climb up Humphreys. So what's that? The biggest mountain. So we just need to like change our attitude about that and say, how lucky are we? We get to go all the way up here and experience the highest mountain in Arizona.
Yeah. Are you worried about elevation at all?
I can get sick. No. I can, even though I live in Wyoming, you know, so 6,300 feet, but yeah, you know, the key is those, I think what we're going to do is once you're up, you get to go right back down. So it's, you know, and especially if you're getting tired and you don't feel well, I would tell you to go down, and because you're going to feel better.
Yeah.
So are you, have you experienced any of that with altitude sickness?
Thankfully, no, I haven't ran in altitude too much. I was just up in Bishop and Mammoth Lakes, went for a run and then did some skiing. So felt fine.
Oh, good. So, and what's the altitude up there?
I think our run at Bishop, I hit, it wasn't like close to 7,000-ish feet.
So, it looks, I don't know what we're going to go up to. I mean, I think is Humphreys maybe 12,000? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but good things for me to Google.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, you know, and I'm going to do later on in July, I'm doing Hard Rock, and that, you know, that averages at 11,000. So that's difficult. So, you know, just drink a lot. Altitude. What happens with me is I get flu-like symptoms. So I just feel like crappy, you know, but once you drop down, you definitely feel better.
That's good. Yeah. So power through it. You got a downhill to
see. Yeah.
amazing. I guess one last thing that I wanted to talk to you about is yoga, because I am also a big fan of hot yoga. I haven't gone since COVID. The studio that I liked, we moved during COVID. So they're reopened now, but I don't live near it. So I love that you do hot yoga though. And that's such another neat way to, it sounds like while you're in class, you're visualizing the race and just it's playing with that mental game and really maximizing your mind.
Oh, I know. And you know, and I know you're not, when I'm in yoga, like especially coming up, like for Zion, for instance, coming up, I do the whole race while I'm doing the class. And so I, you know, cause I've done this for like 8 years now and I go every day. So, I know the routine, I love it. And it's really, really helped my body. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. How much it's helped my body. Cause I don't, you know, I've never really been a stretch person. I don't stretch, but there, you know, it's like it's not like you're sitting there stretching, but you're holding poses and it's really helped because I, you know, way back, I don't even know how long ago, maybe 8-10 years ago, I tore my right hamstring and, you know, my strength is all back and I can balance, you know, you balance on both feet. And so, yeah, I highly recommend hot yoga to anybody. I just think it's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to need to find a studio before May to get some classes in and see if I can squeeze 3 to 4 days of running into one 60 to 90 minute class. I'll let you know how it goes.
So where do you live?
I live in Redondo Beach, California.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I've been lucky that yoga has not shut down. What they did in Wyoming and in Arizona, you know, they just decreased the size of the class. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to do it the whole time. Well, with the exception of maybe 2 months or something, but for that, just the first 2 months.
Yeah. I've actually been going to spin class and that's kind of, I play a similar mental game with myself where while I'm spinning, they're playing music. So you're trying to lock into the rhythm of the ride. And I try to picture myself like running up and down mountains on course. And that the rhythm has really been helpful for long runs because it does take some work to be able to get into that meditative state where you're just moving forward and flowing and
Definitely spinning. I think that's another thing. I mean, the more different kinds of movements you can do, I think the better it is for your body. Cause you know, if you're only running, it's just the pounding gets to you after a while. So if you can do these other things and you can, like you said, you're visualizing going through and, after our talk, I told you I'm going to go on my fat bike and there are so many fun trails. They're just up and down and rolling. And so it's just fun. Just like you said, flowing and smooth and it's neat.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I have to run and you have to get on that fat bike.
So. Cool. Well, it's great talking to you and I can't wait to meet you in person.
All right. That does it for today's episode. Thank you to our friend Shelby for doing these interviews. And thanks to our guests for sharing great training advice and insights into their own Cocodona race preparation. We've got a lot more trail running content coming your way soon, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. And if you've got the time, consider leaving us a review. It really helps us out. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jamil Curry. See you on the next episode.